It's time to let everybody know that Troy, the most amazing Australian on the planet, has made one more trip around the sun. Well, Troy, how does it feel? Does it feel like it sounds? Happy wanking birthday to you.
Guys, now I've thought about this, and I'm just trying to be a little bit respectful, and there's a huge part of me that just want to kind of like test you guys and see how much shit you can put up with. But if you don't want to deal with the big long intro, you can go to about 35 minutes in, and that will get you going. Just saying, just giving you a heads up. So 35 minutes in, if you want to avoid the shit. But I kind of think you'd be better off for it if you just hang with it. Oh, what do you say after that? Thank you, Sir Bruce. I appreciate that, mate. How the fuck are we? How you going? It's a late one. Late to it this week, folks. Welcome to another Guitar Wank podcast. Yep, and it's my birthday, and we're just going to get this in time before it's not. But thank you so much for all the birthday wishes today. I really appreciate that. You are listening to Guitar Wank. This is episode number 85. I am your host, because you have no choice, Troy McCubbin. And I've got to say a massive thank you. Not that I didn't plant the seed, because I knew no other fucker was going to do it. So... there you go. So, but I really do appreciate all the birthday wishes and the support. I feel like we're building a community of about 10 people. And we could probably form a band now. Be a lot of fucking guitarists. It'd be pretty annoying. For the record, I'm not really drunk. I'm just tired. Had a good night. Went out to sushi. Probably don't give a shit. But anyway, I'm going to tell you. I was thinking tonight, I was like, because we haven't got Scott and Bruce back. We're actually doing one this week. Scott arrived from Brazil today, I believe, back from Brazil today. And Bruce arrived back in town. So we're finally going to get back on track. Finally, goddammit. But I was thinking about it. Wouldn't it be just funny if I just had got shit-faced drunk, got on Guitar Wank, and like for the next 40, 50 minutes, I just talked and talked and thanked people and talked about my childhood and just dragged it on and like just kept it going and released it. That'd be kind of cool. It'd piss the hell off. You guys would be all pissed off. But anyway, I kind of think it'd be just funny as shit. But I'm not going to do it because, one, I haven't got the time. Two, I couldn't be bothered. And three, we don't want to piss off the little fans we have. So there you go. So we're not going to do it, but I appreciate everyone that sent me happy birthday wishes. It's, you know, I am 46 and I'm happy and proud to say it. It's funny, like, you know, when you get older, and I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners out there around my age and maybe older, and you know what? I'm proud, man. I made it, 46. There's a lot of people who don't make it. And all bullshitting aside, it's like, wow, I fucking made it. I'm 46. I've got a beautiful family. I've got amazing parents still. I'm very lucky. I've got a lot of great friends. Man, I get to do a cool Guitar Wank podcast, and I have people like Bruce Foreman and Scott Henderson, who back in my late teens, early 20s, like, these guys were gods to me. And now look what they've become. Yeah, right? It's funny because those guys that I have in my head when I was a young bloke seem so far removed from the Scott and Bruce that now I am extremely lucky to call really great friends. And it's funny because I probably hang out with Bruce a lot more than Scott, just circumstances and the way it works out. Scott's pretty busy and me and Bruce sort of hang out a bit. But anyway, Scott, he said to me one day that, Troy, I look at you as one of my best friends and really value our friendship. And I was like, wow, fucking Scott Henderson, man. Scott Henderson, Bruce Foreman. I get to call these guys as my friends. So pretty lucky. I feel very lucky because I feel so out of my element as a player. I mean, anyone probably, not many players probably wouldn't, but I mean, these guys are just, you know, they've been around the block or two. They know how to play their fucking asses off. And, yeah, you know, you don't feel like picking up a guitar sometimes in front of them. But I have been getting a lot of requests like, Troy, when are we going to hear some of your music? Yeah, I want to share some. And little bits. I'm not going to shove it down your throat and make you listen to it if you don't want to. But I don't know. I just haven't been in that mindset the last few years. And I feel like that's coming back. You gotta have something to say. If you don't have something to say, you just fucking... You're another wanker on guitar. Look at me, look at me, look at me. And I kind of want to say something. So, yeah. And hopefully when I say something, it's not... Oh, there's another wanker on guitar. And it probably will be. But in my mind, it won't be because I'll be trying to say something. But you guys might be thinking, there's another wanker on guitar. But anyway, so there you go. So I've had a good birthday. You know, my parents are in town from Australia. I couldn't be more blessed. I have the most amazing parents in the world. They're incredible people. I have an amazing missus. I've got two beautiful, amazing kids. You know, I've got like a stepson, I guess you would call it. Two other kids living with us. You know, it's like the Brady Bunch is fucking... life ain't perfect. It's not how you think it was going to end up when you were younger, maybe. It just fucking happens. What did John Lennon say? Yeah, life happens when you're busy planning life or whatever it was. And that's what happens. Just everyone's got their shit, man. Like, you'll probably be listening to me and you're probably going through some heavy, heavy shit. And you're just trying to think how you're going to get through the next week or whatever. And my heart goes out to you because we've all got our stuff. And that's why I think it's really important that we do reach out and we communicate. And we have this guitar wank community. And it's not necessarily about us selling shit or gear or shoving product down your face. It's really about grab a drink and come and join us on the couch. And sometimes it's really shitty, and sometimes it's really cool, or maybe sometimes there's just blinks of moments where you're like, oh, fuck, what Bruce and Scott just said then was gold. And it made the last 5 episodes worth it because what they said was amazing. And you get that now and then, which is really cool. And then we have our guests and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so if you're going through some heavy shit, we all go through it. Everyone's got their shit. Everyone's got their stories. And I feel very grateful. 46, I'm grateful. I got to achieve a lot of dreams, a lot of goals, and I'm still achieving many of them. And yeah, pretty cool. I feel very, very blessed, especially in this day and age. I haven't been shot yet. I live in America. It could happen. Oh, man. Yeah, Troy gets shot in, like, episode 110. And there's, like, remember in episode 85 he was talking about being shot? Fuck. He kind of predicted it. That would suck. That ain't going to happen. So I was talking to my mom and dad when I was born. You know, you sit around your parents and like, say, yeah, I was born 46 years ago today. And mum was like, yeah, dad wasn't even there. He was at a gig. I was like, what? And I actually thought he was doing that with my sister when she was born. But he was at a wedding. He was playing in a band called Tempest, I think they were called. Pretty cool name, I guess. And my dad plays guitar as well. And he was at the wedding, right? So mum's at the hospital because back in those days, you didn't go into the room with the missus. You just dropped them off and, all right, I'm going to go play a gig. I got a wedding. You do that. You deliver this kid and I'm going to do the wedding. So dad was at the wedding and so he gets a call halfway through the wedding. Hey, you've got a baby boy. Everyone cheering. And my mum's telling me this. So she's like, Troy. So he's getting all the fucking cheers. What did he do? He did nothing. He was playing guitar at a wedding. I'm in the hospital delivering your ass and he's getting the applause. I thought it was pretty funny. So dad leaves the gig. The other guys in the band hold the fort down. They cover for him. Goes to the hospital. Has a quick pop in. Oh, awesome. I have a son. Yeah, missus okay. Okay, I got to go back to the gig and finish the gig. Finish this wedding. He comes back in. Dad said he got another big applause. And he finishes the gig. Dad's a hero. Mum's in the hospital, sore all over. And there you go. So that's what happened when I was born. The old man was doing a wedding gig. I didn't ever ask him what he got paid for it too. But kind of funny, right? I can't imagine that. My God. If I had been... And there was chances where I could have been on tour while my missus was having a kid. Oh my God. Like end of relationship shit. That just would not... That wouldn't fly nowadays. But anyway, pretty interesting. There you go, my life story. You know, I was born and my old man was playing a wedding. There you go, back in Australia. Alrighty. I can just drag this on for as long as I can because it's my birthday and I can cry if I want to. Who do we got to thank? God damn it. You know who we got to thank? Johnny Sir. I'm not going to say too much, but I just got to say, John Sir is a fucking stand-up bloke. Like, kind of, when we had him on the show, I kind of thought, like, this guy's really, he's a fucking good bloke. You can tell he's a good guy. You know, his heart's in the right place. He's not kind of, you know, you meet some people, especially in make amps and that, they're always a little fucking off or they're a little weird. You know, you meet guys that are... Solder sniffers, as Bruce would say, they're a little off. Or, you know, they live in their little amp bubble. Maybe they don't have family. They're by themselves. They're that fucking nerdy guy in the back shed, in mum's basement or whatever. I'm sure there's tons of amp and guitar guys like out there. But John Sir just seemed really just a great bloke. And I'm giving him major props because he looked after me. I gotta say, he really looked after me. And he didn't have to. On any level whatsoever, but what a stand-up guy, a great bloke, and I'm such a fan of what he does and his products. I do want to get a John Sir guitar. Yeah, I'm sucked in. I know I'm gonna pick one up and want to buy it. I'm gonna definitely end up with one of his amplifiers down the track. It's just, I don't know. I don't mind spending money on really great product, but also when you know the people behind it are actually good people and they do good shit. And there's a lot of them out there. I really love Reinhold Bogner too. I think he's fucking crazy and wacky as shit and he's so entertaining, but he just loves what he does so much. And there's another fun, great guy. And I need to send your donations to Guitar Wank so Troy can just keep buying amplifiers. Let's do that. But anyway, big thanks to John Sir. I thanks, mate. I can't thank you enough for looking after us. And I'm not saying he gave me any free shit. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he didn't have to look after me the way he did. Great bloke, and I really appreciate it. And hey, if you're looking at amps or guitars, you definitely need to check out what he does because it's top notch. And we're not pissing in your pocket, right? Fucking not pissing in your pocket. All right, so let's look who we got on this week. Got fucking Mr. Bruce Foreman, me and Bruce, because Scotty hasn't been here. Where are we at? Fucking looking at the sponsors here. They're pretty bad. I have to look at the sponsors and actually read them off the website. Ah, it's all good, mate. All good. But who do we thank? We thank John. John Sir, guitars and amps. Thanks, mate. Really appreciate it. Dear Dario, you guys make amazing strings. I'm not even going to edit this. Sometimes I go and fix all that stuff. Fuck it. It's my birthday. I'm not doing it this week. Up your bum. Fishman Triple Play. I need to try one of these out. I don't know nothing about it. Scott raved about it. Fishman, you probably don't even listen. You don't even know that we're sponsoring. You're sponsoring us in some capacity. I don't even know what you're doing. So maybe you should send us a triple play so I can fucking talk about it. There's a fucking idea for you. Jimmy Dunlop. Now I can talk about them because you made the picks that I've sent to no one, and I need to send out to a bunch of people and put it up in the store so you guys can buy them. But the guitar picks, I use them all the time. They're fucking great. And I love the logo. So, you know, there you go. My Music Masterclass. Yeah, what are you going to say about that shit? You know, Scott and Bruce have got all these amazing videos. Man, it's just a lifetime of work. It really is. A lot of stuff. But if you want to be inspired or just really knuckle down on what they do and their approach, you can't do much better, man. It's really good stuff. Really, really good stuff. As there is so many amazing tutorials out there, it's almost flooded. But personally, I'm a fucking sucker for this shit. I should do more. I should take Bruce's advice, do more playing of songs and playing live than having my head in some tutorial video. But there's so much amazing stuff and I get sucked in. I'm like, God, I want to learn that. That's really, really cool. Scott and Bruce's videos on My Music Masterclass are amazing. And then True Fire, they do incredible stuff. Jeff on McLean. See, there's no Mac in that. So that's why it confuses me. Mac Cubbin, M-A-C, but he's Mook, but they pronounce it Mac. Anyway, look, check out Jeff's stuff on True Fire. What am I talking about? It's late. Don't bust my balls. Yes, Jeff's on True Fire. He's got a killer. He's got like 3 or 4 videos on there, and it's just really... Some people are amazing players, but can't teach for shit. And you guys know that. I mean, I think Bruce and Scott are amazing players, but they're really good at mentoring and teaching. Besides when Scott's like ratting on his students and giving them shit. But yeah, really good players, but can't teach for shit. Jeff is an amazing player, but he can teach really, really well and break it down. And I've been going through all these videos when I work on the stuff that I do with my business. I'll have these videos on the background because it's just like, I'll let them run. And there's so much stuff that I feel like I've missed that Jeff has just broken it down and made it really simple. So, Jeff, big fan, mate. Thank you so much. True Fire, check it out. It's like you've got a blues solo one, a blues rhythm one. Awesome. Really cool shit. So we've got a bunch of cool guys on True Fire. So they make good stuff. And they ain't sponsoring us. Maybe they should. Sennheiser microphones. Thank you, guys. AEA ribbon microphones. Now, this is shit I know that's good. The AEA, and I say it like that because if I say it like Australian, AEA, you probably won't understand it. But AEA ribbon microphones, fucking awesome. Like, we should have I can't think of the guy's name. I've got a memory like a sieve sometimes. Anyway, the guy that does AEA ribbon microphones, we should have him on the show. I forget his name. Anyway, he's a bit of a legend, and they recreated all those old RCA ribbon microphones. You know, you saw Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra singing to. They remake that, but made it better, and they just sound incredible. They've given me some to try out, and for $5,000 for their top, I think it's one of their top microphones. It's ridiculous. But anyway, I get off track. Sir Guitars and Amps, we've already done that. Wire World Pro Audio Cables, Larry and David. I love these guys. They've looked after me, but I wouldn't use their shit if it didn't sound good. And I've tried a bunch of cables, and I love their shit. And I know a lot of guys that use their stuff and swear by it. And we're going to have them on the show because I want them to talk to you guys about what they do and why their cables are so good and what's going on with their cables. Yeah, so we're going to make that happen. That we're going to do, put together some gadget or something where you could actually hear the difference, because they were saying to me, there's no point us just telling you how good our shit is. You got to hear it for yourself. And I've been there when they've done the test and you're just like, whoa, really? That's what we're missing out on? Anyway, it's worth it. Wire World Pro Audio Cables. Do yourself a favor and pick up one of their cables. Just try a guitar cable. You'll be sold. Exotic Pedals. I don't even know if you guys fucking listen to the show and even know that you're sponsoring our show. Why are they sponsoring our show? I have questions now. Now that I'm a mature adult, I'm questioning these sponsorships. I'm not getting any kickbacks from Exotic Pedals. Hold it, don't they make fucking guitars too? I think they do. All right, maybe you need to send me stuff. No, I don't know. I don't even know why they are a sponsor. I don't know what they do. Do they? Oh, that's right. We had the competition. Yes. We had the competition. And we're going to do another competition. All right. These are the names for the 100th show. Tommy Emmanuel, who I've reached out to. And I don't know if he's in town around that time, so we won't be able to get him. But maybe in January. I mean, seriously, one of the best guitar players on the planet and the most one of the most beautiful human beings on the planet. He's such a great bloke. Love Tommy. He'd be great. I'm trying to find out how to fucking get in touch with Eddie Van Halen. Like, how do you get in touch with Eddie? I'm looking for management. I'm looking for people. I don't know. So if you know how to get in touch with Eddie Van Halen, tell him. He should be on the show. I see George Benson is playing with Kenny G at the Hollywood Bowl. How fucking hilarious is that? How many times has Scott ratted, like, dogged on Kenny G? We've had whole episodes about ratting on Kenny G and how annoying his music is. Well, Scott said that. And then he's playing with George Benson, one of the cats we really want on the show. So I think that'd be amazing if they both come on the show and we settle it all. But I don't know how to get in touch with these people. Fucking, we're just Guitar Wing Podcasts. So if you know, tell us. Bruce Foreman is talking... This is fucking hilarious. Now, you guys listen to the show. You know how anti-amplifier Bruce is. So you've got Scott, who's like tone, one of the tone gods, right? Amazing tone, fucking kills it. And then you got Bruce, the grumpy bastard on the other side, who doesn't want to use amplifiers. He was trying to go more acoustic. He doesn't want to use it. He's all against amplifiers. Couldn't be bothered with the shit. Fucking... And now he's talking to Dumble. Yeah, he's going to be talking, possibly, just throwing shit out there. He's possibly talking to Dumble. I know Bruce, if he gets a chance to try and get Dumble on the show, whether Howard would or not, but wouldn't that be cool to have Dumble on the show? So anyway, we'll see what happens there. So that would be just ironic. Fucking Bruce wanting to go acoustic and then Dumble makes him an out. Fucking hilarious. What else is going on? I think that's it. I can't think of anything else. I know there was something else. What is something else going on? Oh, who else? Michael, if you're listening, Mr. Landau, fucking email me, mate. Like, you need to come on the show. Just come on. I know you said you're not a big talker, but you don't have to be a big talker. I mean, I'll fucking do all the talking for you. Just come on the show and kick back, have a couple of beers with us. We won't. Scott keeps telling me that Landau doesn't want to. He doesn't like to do that kind of thing because everyone's like, "Well, what pedal do you use? What do you use there? What amp are you using?" And seriously, if you're that kind of player, you kind of get sick of that shit. I don't want to ask any of those questions. I want to ask about his songwriting and his playing, and I promise, Michael, if you come on the show, we're not going to ask any gear questions. Not one. That's a promise. Not one gear question. I will not ask that. Maybe Bruce and Scott will, but I will not ask you a gear question. Mike, come on the show. We really want to have you on, mate. It'd be fucking cool. You'd have a good time. And even if you sit there and you say nothing for the whole show, you can do that too. Just come get a mug. That'd be really cool. Mr. Lukather, are you ever going to get that fucking book out? I know you're writing a book. Is it happening? Come on, dude. You know, I busted his balls on... He went on Richard Marks' podcast. And I kind of busted... I didn't bust his balls. I just wrote him. I was like, hey, man, Luke, I heard you on Marks' podcast, eh? Yeah. He was like, oh, dude, it was a good friend. You know, he's an old friend, and I got in big trouble for it. I was there. I was just trying to get a rise out of him. But anyway, Luke, it'd be really cool to have you on the show, mate. That'd be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to that. So that's my wish list, I think. I can't think of anything. There's a ton of people. Robin Ford, that'd be really cool. Sonny Landreth, amazing. I'd like to have Mark Knopfler, but I think that's like, that ain't going to happen. Mark, maybe you're listening. Maybe Mark Knopfler listens to podcasts and he's like, you know what? I'm going to surprise these guys and come on their show. That'd be fucking cool. Paisley, Brad, I know you're a monster. You're like a gazillionaire now. Come on the show. You know, just come and hang with the little people. That'd be pretty cool. But we are going to have the guy from Fender, Richard. See, now that Scott and Bruce is back, I'm pushing all these guests because they have been away and I haven't been able to do it. Richard from Fender, who is like one of the top dudes at Fender. I mean, remember, Fender is like one of the biggest musical companies in the world, and this guy is one of the top dudes. So I'm really excited to talk to him. We're going to have Shane, the guitarist from Hall & Oates, and who's also the MD on Daryl's house. Shane. I'm not even going to say your last name, Shane, because right now I will fuck it up. so we're going to have Shane on. Who else? Oh, you guys don't care. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so that's it. There we go. How much have I wasted? You know, if you're complaining about my intros, just fast forward. You have the power in your hands. Just a fucking fast forward. Don't write me a fucking email. Oh, Troy, your intros are way too long. Fuck off. Fast forward. You have the power. You can just like go past me. I don't care. But don't write me and tell me about it. I have an ego too. All right, motherfuckers. There you go. I've just pissed everyone off now. So, all right. Well, thank you so much. We had a bunch of great donations. We had a big donation in the other day, and I will mention it on the next show with Scott and Bruce. Thank you so much. You guys really have no idea how much a donation means to us. It's not a piss in the wind or anything like that. It's a big deal. Like, yeah, I get all the donations. I mean, I don't get them, but I see them. Bruce handles all the money. I don't know if that's a good thing, but he is a Jew, so that's probably a really good thing. So thank you so much for all the emails and the donations. I know I say it every week, and you guys are probably, yeah, whatever, Troy, fuck off. But seriously, it means a lot because it does help us. We're doing this out of free. This is my birthday, and hell, hang on. Well, it was my birthday. It's past 12 o'clock. Fuck. All right, so yesterday was my birthday. I was really hoping to get this out before the Monday. Now I'm getting it out on Tuesday. I'm sorry, guys. But anyway, but I just wanted the goodness of my heart. Say, I'm actually doing what I said I was going to do at the start. I'm just rambling for how long? Oh, man. Okay, send all the emails and tell me how much I fucking rambled on this one. All right, McCubbin, you're 46 and you're fucking just getting annoying now. All right, I'll shut up. Hey, did you see Brett Garcet's picture? I see if you get a Guitar Wank t-shirt or a mug, and I know there's a ton of people out there who are waiting on theirs. Some lovely lady the other day wrote me and said she ordered a t-shirt ages ago for her husband or boyfriend. It was his birthday and she wanted to surprise him. It'll get out this week, I promise, and we'll put some extra stuff in there because it got delayed. So we want to look after our fans. But if you have a Guitar Wank t-shirt or mug or anything, send us a picture. We would love to see it. Brett, that was an awesome picture, mate. Made me miss home and looked like a pretty cool tally there with you too, Sally Custer. All right. No, fuck it. Let's do it. Let me just talk for another 30 minutes. Do you think you could do it? I could do it. I can do this. I could just keep talking for another 30 minutes. Just ramble on about bullshit. Let's talk about all the bullshit behind the curtain of Guitar Wank and let you know what really goes on. My God, if you really knew what Scott and Bruce were talking about you guys and saying, you guys probably wouldn't want to listen. It's really bad, but we edit all that out. I'm joking. See, Bruce and Scott don't even fucking listen to the show. I should just start dogging on them all the time until they start pulling me up. Anyway, all right. Okay, I've stopped. I'll stop. Okay. Enough is enough. My cabin. All right. Wow, that was a lot. To all people in Texas, fuck, man. Why can't they just ship all the water to California? We need it. You bastards have just got so much shit you're dealing with. My heart. So heartbreaking what people go through in the world. And with all the technology and mail. Mail? Money. Technology. Money. All right. I've drank too much. All right. We need to move on, McCubbin. All right. At least I know, kind of. All right, Mr. McCubbin. What have we got in store for everyone this week? Mr. Bruce Fawn, Scott Henderson. Actually, this is continuation of last week's Scott Free. I did have some comments about the episode. It might have been a little slow. Me and Bruce were just, you know... Anyway, it's Scott Free. Hang in for one more. This is the last episode you're going to have to deal with. Just me and Bruce and my long birthday intro. Last one, okay? Just fucking hang in there. Next week, I promise it's going to be so much better. Scott will be back and we'll get into it. We're going to have the guests, blah, blah, blah. But seriously, if you do know Eddie Van Halen or any of those people I mentioned, fucking let them know that they need to come on Guitar Wank. Stop being all fucking celebrity, like Bruce would say, and come and hang out with us. All right. God, you're full of shit tonight, McCubbin. All right, good night. Thanks, guys. I know all of you have fast-forwarded from this point, so I should just keep talking. All right, Mr. Bruce Foreman, what have we have? Scott Free for everyone this week. Oh, damn. Sorry. I apologize now. Don't email me. God damn it.
You know?
Yeah.
So let's just start there.
Yeah.
And now that we're actually, to us, this music is important to us, important enough to us to sit and talk about it and obsess about it. And do we wonder, like, is it better to go the Dave gig route and just, you know, keep your music pure? Or is it better to, you know, try and do the music business thing and try and do whatever you can? Then you end up, like, not making money and maybe not ever playing the music you wanted to play in the first place. I mean,
yeah.
And or you get your stardom that you always thought stardom was the thing you wanted, and then you realize it's nothing but a bunch of people around you who are needing things from you, who are bugging you, and to keep the stardom, you're like competing with bullshit, and you're being something you aren't even are.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, let's all just get real, appreciate where we are, make it better from there. Remember that community is the thing that makes us, you know, community, your family, the people that love you. That's the thing. That's what you want surrounding you when you die. And you may die young or you may make it to the end of the trail. But that's what you want. Make that happen now. Don't wait around. Don't chase somebody else's bullshit dreams.
Yep.
Or bullshit ideas of shit. And don't, you know, and basically the game becomes, he who swallows the least amount of bullshit is the winner.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the way I look at it, you know, and you know, of course, if I compare myself to anybody, I come up a winner and a loser in one way or another.
Yeah.
So what's the point of that?
Yeah.
I mean, I know we all do it. I mean, believe me, this is one of those cases of take my advice. I'm not using it.
it's
but
true.
It's true.
Yeah.
I really believe it to be a truth that I'm trying to live by.
Yeah, it's true. Like when I was a young kid growing up, and once I started doing music, and I guess, you know, I would probably say 99.9% of us guitar players grew up starting young, getting on the instrument, and wanting to be a star guitar player,
yeah.
A hero guitar player, and go that route. And a lot of us have maybe achieved certain success. Maybe a lot of us have just done the weekend gigs or the corporate gigs or the cover bands or the original bands that never got the light of day or whatever. But I think, I know for myself, having toured the world and getting to see some sort of fame in around fame, more or less, and a little bit of fame and all that, touring and the limos and all that shit, quickly realizing that it means fucking nothing if you're not playing the music you truly love. And I wasn't playing the music I truly loved. It was a great high-profile gig, but it wasn't my
music. And
that's
an experience I don't have.
It was a great experience, but I look at you.
That's an experience I don't have. So, I mean, to me, that sounds like, whoa, you know.
It was great for the time it was, but
you know, I mean, it sounds like, God, you know, I mean, and I've had some high-profile, like, I was in a band that was at the high end of the jazz world. You know, we were doing all the best festivals, all the best clubs. And, I mean, I was still complaining about shit. It wasn't me. It wasn't my music. I didn't really, I gave myself 100% to the band because that's what you do when people hire you and you have integrity, you know, and I believed in his vision and I made it happen, but I would have done it differently.
Yeah.
I wanted those gigs. I didn't get them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's like, but God, I got that experience, you know what I mean? And I'm still fighting the fight, you know, but mostly I'm creating shit. And that's another thing that I'm really trying to impress on my students. This is a big thing I'm on. This is my new kick, I guess, teaching wise. It's like, I teach at a place, and I teach at places with really good students, you know, I guess maybe because it's jazz or whatever, you know, and I'm lucky, I'm fortunate to be in the high echelon of stuff. The people who come to my stuff can really play. They can play.
Yeah.
And I tell them all, I say, you know, and I think a lot of this comes to from my experience with my show, The Red Guitar, is I say to them all, first of all, to be a musician, we all have something in common. This is what it is. We wake up every day to get better. You know, that's a process that starts the first day you start and it goes till the day you die.
Yeah.
That's never going to change. Okay. Somehow in jazz, it's become this Olympic sport where you have to get X amount of good, which is really fucking good. I mean, really beyond good.
Yeah.
Before you're able to even consider yourself in the club, right? It's become like an Olympic sport. If you're not on the, if you don't make the Olympic team, you're not even in. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff.
Right.
And I mean that's the mindset of these people at my workshops and in my studio at my school. And I just have to tell every one of them, and this is my honest belief, I swear it. See, every one of you guys and women have the firepower to set the world on fire. That getting better is a process that's continuous forever for you. But any one of you with an idea and a concept for music that the world needs to hear, that shines a light, that creates that moment, will catapult you to the top. You're all good enough for that.
Yeah.
Where's that part of it? Are you even looking for that part of it?
Yeah.
Are you even asking the questions to find that part of it? You know, and for all of you out there listening, I'm pretty sure you're all pretty good players. That's why you're listening. You know, otherwise you wouldn't waste your time on a bunch of old lesbian guitar players. So ask yourself, you know, getting better is every day. What is it that, you know what I mean? What is your thing that you need to say that needs, I mean, there's playing a guitar and there's art. And art has an awesome responsibility. Playing the guitar is just get good at it and geek out, you know. Art is like shining light, creating feelings, evoking feelings, making the world, making the people of the world see or hear in a new way.
Yeah.
And I believe everybody has enough skill on this wood and metal. I think where we lack is we start to honor the wood and metal versus the human playing it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And like, what did you have to say? What is your perspective? What's your aesthetic? What's your skill set? What are, you know, what's your background? What are your resources to make something out of this sound that fulfills the responsibility of art? And I think, because we know damn well a lot of people who we think of as these great visionary artists weren't very good musicians.
Hmm.
Aren't very good musicians.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're better poets than musicians, but they just know enough music to make it work.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just hear the sound of the instrument in a new way, that within a new style, that creates a whole new aspect that, you know, that defines our times. This is what our responsibility is as artists. And while we're getting better, because that's what we do every day anyways.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a given. That's what needs the love. That's what needs the fire. And that's what needs our time. And I know it sounds like a cult meeting or some shit, but I really believe that, you know, you were talking to me earlier about how people kind of sound the same, and you were feeling that it's kind of like we've hit a void, you know what I mean? And I think if I heard you right in the first place, to me, what I'm hearing is a lack, in my world at least, of that artistic integrity of finding the thing, finding your thing, you know, pushing out and being honest and being vulnerable and being willing to strike out and knowing damn well that you're never going to be as good as you want to be. That's an everyday thing. But to shine the light on the world and tell your story right now and give voice to people out there, you know, who are looking for it, that to me is something that's art.
Yeah.
The rest of this shit is just skill.
Yeah, it's
okay,
true.
I'll
no,
do that.
It's.
I mean,
it's,
people didn't sign up for Guitar Week for that kind of proselytizing. I know.
But it's true. It's totally true. You know that definitely, because you do. You turn on Facebook and, I mean, you see 12-year-old kids. You see fucking 8-year-old kids pulling shit off that. It's like, wow, I can't even do that now, and these kids are just smoking.
Well, of course they can. I mean, they've got it right in front of them. They just copy it.
Yeah.
You know, it's great.
But the reason why, I mean, all my favorite players are who they are is because they broke the mold. They are just who they are. Like the Brian Setzers of the world, or the Wes Montgomerys, and I mean, all the greats that you think about. They've got a sound. You know it's them. They wrote a song that was just, oh my God, that's their song. That's Jimmy Page. I mean, he's not the best guitar player on the planet, but fuck, he's written them some of the best stuff in the world, you know? So there's probably a gazillion guitar players who could play every Led Zeppelin lick there's been done, but none of them wrote it. They're just copying the great.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with being able to copy it. But it'd be nice if they took the responsibility to do what they did.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with being, you know, a skilled journeyman. We need people to snake toilets.
Yeah.
We need people to, you know, fix cabinets. We need people to drive buses. You know what I mean? And, you know, we need people to play cover bands. Because we don't want the fucking jukebox to take over from that. We want real people doing that stuff. And we know that's a great training ground for the next group of Jimmy Pages.
Yeah.
Or Leonard Cohen. Or Bob Dylan. Or Bill Frisell. Or John Coltrane. Or Charlie Parker. Or, you know what I mean? Or Wayne Shorter. Those are training grounds for those people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, in Nashville, like, I think every night I'd catch an Uber international to go see someone
play. It was always a guitar player, right?
It was always a guitar player. It was a session string player. It was like, oh, yeah, I do this at night to make extra money. And these cats had played with everyone. And they drive an Uber, and I'm like, fuck. You know, like, I'm not moving here. It's just crazy. But I've got a friend at the moment who's definitely struggling with that whole, you know, he's got family. He's an amazing musician, amazing guitarist, done a lot of incredible stuff. But he's realizing, he's given it a good try, and he's starting to realize that, you know, maybe it's not going to happen. And he's starting to come to terms with that. I've gone through that myself, where it's like, well, maybe that ain't going to happen. That's not going to be my path. And once you let that go and just like, I just want to do shit that makes me happy, I think shit starts to get way better when you do that. Instead of putting so much pressure on yourself, I have to be this and I have to be that. Yeah, but
you know, I think we all have to go through various stages of that.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I think for those of you who are 20, if there's any 20-year-olds out there listening,
you got to have that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, if you're 16 and you're listening to us just for the cuss words and shit, you know, like, I'm here to tell you that, like, you have to go through a period of that. You know, yeah. I mean, I know now, I'm never going to play Major League Baseball.
Did you want to play Major League?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I never knew you were into baseball.
I was a good ball player. But, you know, I mean, what I don't
know. Where did it go wrong, Bruce?
I went into music and drugs, but.
That'll teach you.
But, you know, I mean, I'm just saying that, yeah, you know, life, that's a burden of life. But I just think everybody should dream as big as possible and fight as long as they can. Because yeah. I think ultimately, you know, J.K. Rowling of Harry Potter, yeah. You know, how many years did she get rejected?
Yeah.
And if she'd have given up, we'd never have Harry Potter.
Yeah.
You know, and while, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of that stuff, I know a lot of people in the world are, and it's supported a lot of people, and yeah. It's been a great thing. And, you know, I mean, and there's a million of those stories of, you know, the Bridges of Madison County got like 350 rejects, you know, and I'm not here to say I think it's high literature, because it's definitely not, but... And being somebody who doesn't write high literature, I know it when I can smell it. But you know, the guy persevered, and he made it happen.
Yeah.
And I think that there's an element to that. And it's an American spirit, you know, not to be super nationalistic, but even the people who come here, that's what defines us, is we all have this stupid, at times...
Yeah.
Belief in ourselves,
yeah.
And belief that we can make it, you know. And LA is that world times 1,000.
Yeah.
I mean, like I told you about, you know, the people. I know a screenwriter. He was very successful. He was a TV writer back in the 60s. He wrote for The Addams Family, which was a big TV show, and Wild Wild West. These were big TV shows before you were born, you know. And he's 104 or 5 right now, and he still thinks he's going to make a comeback.
Love that.
I mean, he's writing.
That's awesome.
He's got the treatment right now he's working on. Yeah. You know, I mean, he naps like 23 hours a day.
Yeah. He gets a solid 20 minutes in.
Can't hear a fucking thing I'm saying. But, you know, I mean, but this guy, he still thinks,
yeah. You
know, like he's going to write the next thing, you know, and it's like, you know, it's a young person's sport. They're not gonna let a 50-year-old write a team screenplay, you know. They're writing for 20-year-olds,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But and I know numerous other groups of 60s and 70 and 80-year-olds that are still, they just can't give up the ghost. And you know, there's a beauty in that, because they are creating and they are,
well, when I talk moving. About
And you, me too. I'm sitting here doing new projects, trying to get them going.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm way past my sell-by date. But so what?
I think, you know? what I'm trying to get at is not a sense of giving up, or giving up the dream, or giving up the passion, or just, it's not going to happen for me, fuck it, I won't try. For me, personally, what has changed for me is looking at things a different way and realizing, okay, that's not going to be the root, or that doesn't exist anymore. What makes me really happy, and what's going to get me closer to what I want to really be doing? And I think that's still dreams. It's still chasing the dream and what I want to be doing. But it's just approaching things a little bit different. It's to when you were 10 years younger, I'd be like, all right, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you're ascribing a little more reality. And with your situation, obviously, with kids and a wife and...
mistress, the drug habit.
You know, all that stuff. You just have to figure out your priorities, you know, but... You know, but that being said, this is what growing up's about. This, you know, and I hate to call it growing up because we don't, obviously, but this is what dealing with reality is. Yeah. You know, it's like you get kicked in the balls. Eventually, I'm tired of that. Or no, go ahead, kick me again. I'm gonna show your ass. You know,
sometimes not giving a fuck is the best place you can get to in life.
That is the best place to be. In every case.
Yeah.
In every case, I can only think that has never once not been my highest moment. And yet, I can so rarely go there.
It's hard to do.
Why? Why? Wait, especially when you know that it's the best thing you can do.
What was the quote I heard recently by someone? If too many people, you've got too many friends, or people are liking you, doing something wrong. It's like if you haven't got a lot of people hating you, you're not.
Well,
something along those lines. Like a lot of people that push the barriers and are doing different things and traveling their own path and not giving a fuck. A lot of people hate that and don't like that and go against that. And that was a great quote, and I can't think of it. But anyway. I think there's something to that. I think a lot of the greats just didn't give a fuck, and that.
Or I will give you a different viewpoint of that.
I knew you'd do it.
No, and I hate to admit, and maybe I'm being too honest for this, but if you looked at me, and I know most people would surmise that guy doesn't give a fuck what people think. You know, I mean, obviously he can play guitar and he can entertain people, but he's chosen this like whacked out form of jazz that everybody hates. And then on top of it, he went and started a cowboy band that fused the kind of jazz that everybody hates, so that the few people that do like that kind of music will hate him anyways. Right? You know?
That's so true.
I mean,
brilliant, but true.
You just look at me and my, you know, saying, I guess a blowjob's out of the question. That kind of, you know, my fast mouth, which people here have now heard 80 episodes or whatever, some of them. You know, I feel sorry for the guy that did that. But anyways, you know, they know basically, I'll just say anything, right? So one would pretty much surmise in Junkyard Duo and doing a one-man show trying to be an actor and a writer and make novels.
And,
I mean, this guy's like a fucking... He doesn't give a shit. You know, he's the honey badger, right?
Yep.
that's what you would think if you observe me. And I know that's what most people think of me, but I will be honest with you and tell you, I hate the fact that I
give a shit.
Probably care more what people think of me than anybody I've ever met.
Mm.
And I hate that. And most of what everybody's experiencing through all these things that they think of as me not giving a shit is me just reacting to that I care too much. And I'm proving to myself that I don't want to be that person that I am.
Yeah.
If that makes sense to you.
It does. I know you well enough to know that you really care a lot.
Yeah. And so I'm stuck in this world where I really want to be the Mr. I don't give a shit. And the few moments where either I was able to communicate that I didn't give a shit or I really didn't give a shit are always my best moments.
Yeah.
And yet, I can't seem to free myself of it. And so most of my life is overcompensating.
Yeah.
Not really being it.
But question, and this person pops into my mind, even though it's a different, it's not guitar playing or music. Robin Williams. who you hung out with quite a few times, and right, I would look at him and say, well, he just fucking doesn't give a shit. When he's on stage, he is free and able to go anywhere and do anything. But talking to people that knew him off stage, he was completely the opposite and gave big time, right?
Yes, yes. And of course, he had demons that I believe, you know, and God, this is just so I mean, I shouldn't even say this because I really don't know. I mean, I just want to say you're listening to somebody who really doesn't know this. You know, I probably know less than Alex Jones right now about what I'm talking about. right. But I really think that a lot of what killed Robin was he had this imbalance. You know, he's manic to the point, you know, I mean, there were the highs and there were the lows. And the lows we never really saw, because when he was on stage, we got the highs, because that was his high.
Yeah.
But the rest of this time, the people he lived with and the people he hung around got his lows.
Yeah.
And they were devastatingly dark and dangerous
Yeah.
You know, and so in order to preserve the people around him that he loved, I believe they put him on those meds that sort of even you out, you know, kill the highs but kill the lows, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think being someone like him who could soar, it's like clipping the wings of an eagle. Say, you can't fly anymore.
Yeah.
That way you won't hurt anybody around you. And I think eventually that, you know, caging that spirit just created so much pain. And where's the out? Where's the out at that point? And I mean, believe me, this is some seriously dime store. This is more hypothetical. I don't know for a fact.
Other factors. He found out he had that disease, and you know.
Right, right. But you know, I mean, where's the way out?
Yeah.
You're never going to soar again. You're only living this life to protect people from you. Well, you can protect them from you another way. You're just not around anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and again, and you, those other mitigating factors. And again, you're talking to me who I'm really talking more in a general sense about life, not him in particular.
But, imagine
you've got this situation where you have to trade this for this.
Yeah.
And you've made the trade because you know it's because you love, because you care, because you don't want to put other people at risk.
Yep.
And yet you realize that you being in this situation, it's just untenable. Hmm. You can't be here. And yet you can't go back to what it was because you can't deal with putting people at risk. Well, there's only one exit from that, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, this is, I'm sure that there's probably a psychiatrist or a psychologist out there who wants to call and say, Bruce, you have no understanding of what this is really about.
We should get a psychiatrist on the show.
Yeah, you know, I mean, to me, this is what I perceive was basically, and to me, that's a situation I could relate to.
Well, that's why I brought it up, because I thought, I mean, to me, Robin Williams is the extreme, but knowing you do have that persona of I don't give a shit, I'm doing my thing, and you do very much walk that line, but I know that the other side of you truly cares a lot.
Yeah.
So
it drives me crazy.
Yeah. Well, just stop giving a fuck, dude.
I can't do that. I mean, I wish I could.
And hold it. Do you think as you've got older, you give more of a fuck, or you've learnt to give less of a fuck? Or has it not changed?
I would say in general it's not changed.
Really? I would think as you get older you would kind of
You would think so. There have been... Yeah, I wish I could say that.
Right.
I can't really honestly say, but it has changed in a dynamic way, but not necessarily in a
right
literal way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't explain it.
And you're talking with Dr. Love and psychiatrist.
And here I am, you know, thank God Scott's not here. He would call me such a pussy and he would disown this show. Folks, I just want you to know we'll get back to being pissed off and never teaching again and all that stuff.
We'll get back to it for sure.
Yeah, we got another question. I think we need to move on.
we got questions here. We have got stuff that I wanted to bring up, but I think they're all the good things. We have a question here from Jaden. Jaden Wiggins. He's a huge fan of the show. I've been listening since the start. Really appreciate what the three of you guys do to make downtime better. I have a question that I think would be great to ask the guys on the show. I've sent it through blah, 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 blah. I was wondering if you could get the guys' thoughts on transcribing modern players versus older players when building jazz vocab.
Okay.
Is that a good question?
It's a great question. Scott would say... that
he would say
that this is teaching, come take a lesson from me and we'll do that. And he'd say weather report. Yeah. skies are cloudy, you know. Don't look into the eclipse. And wow. I think transcribing. I think you should transcribe whatever blows your mind and whatever you want to know.
Whatever gets you excited.
Yeah, I think be careful. Do it in digestible amounts. Take a little piece of something, figure out how it works, you know, challenge yourself to use it myriad ways, play into it, play out of it, play it, you know, if it goes to major, play it going to minor. If it's over a major chord, try and alt, you know what I mean? Just use it over substitute chords. Just really try and turn this thing that you love so much into a concept that you can use that becomes your vocabulary versus a piece of verbatim literature. But more important, I just want to really stress that all of that stuff is not as important as knowing the song. It's not as important as being able to just play the song and be free. It's not as important as being in touch with what you're playing so that your articulation and your dynamics and your inflection and your timing is really carrying the weight of your expression. So to worry about vocabulary as being the be-all, end-all of the jazz world is a misnomer in my opinion that is ruining the music.
So just to simplify that, learn the fucking song. Don't necessarily learn. Well, don't jump in and learn what Charlie Parker did. Learn the song first.
Yeah, and then learn what Bird did. Take a part of it that you can deal with, and figure out what makes it work. If you're a guitar player, can you do it chordally? Can you do it linearly? Can you make it resolve to a different tone? Can you make it ascend instead of descend? Can you use it, you know, can you play from something you know into it and out of it into something you know? Can you make it a living, breathing part of your vocabulary? But in order to do that, you have to be able to play first. And in order to be able to play first, you have to be able to play the song.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's like because of this YouTube world where it's like the guy who knows the most licks is the winner. You know, Charlie Parker, if I took a highlight pencil and covered arpeggios, then I covered chromatic connection of things, then I covered enclosures, you know, then I took the blues licks and covered it, you'd pretty much only have the melody left.
Right.
I mean, there's like three or four basic things he did. But his ability to do a million things with them made him great. And, you know, and to think of ourselves as like, if we think of ourselves as knowing a million things, then all you're doing is spitting shit out.
See?
You know, I'll hear a guy play what we call a 2-5-1, which I call his cadence.
Yep.
And they'll play three ideas in that one cadence. The idea over the 2-chord, the idea over the 5-chord, and the idea over the 1-chord. It's like, that would be like me saying, a red Buick brushed my teeth and I flushed the toilet. That would be the kind of sentence that would be.
Yeah.
One sentence that had three subjects in it. That makes no fucking sense at all.
Yeah.
You're not even, it's obvious, if you think that way and you're willing to play that way, you've never really listened to this music.
Yeah. See, there's a couple
of
things.
I mean, that may be harsh, but...
No, I don't think it's harsh, but there's a couple of things that have stuck with me that you and Scott have mentioned before, and it's on this topic.
Scott doesn't want to teach, you know, you got to pay him.
It always cracks me up when he says that. I fucking hate teaching. If you want to learn, you got to pay me. But then he'll say that.
No, and then I'll give an answer, and he has to...
And then he'll jump in and teach for another half an hour.
I know, I love that.
And I'm laughing and the whole time.
That's the reason why I do it, because Scott is a brilliant musician and teacher.
Yeah, he's a great
musician. And every time he goes on one of those after he says he won't, is like...
It's gold.
It's like worth its weight in gold.
Yeah.
You're right.
But he says something that, and you repeated it again, and this has been probably my biggest mistake throughout my career of playing guitar, is take four notes. and take it to the moon and back and learn that, like you said, just learn that small little part. I've been that guy who's like, well, I just saw this guy play this whole song. I want to learn the whole song. And I get it. Either I never learn the whole thing or I get give it 70% under my fingers and I never get what I would get out of it if I just took one thing out of it.
Well, here's my analogy. consider, if you will, I take you out for dinner.
Right.
This is purely platonic, of course. And we get you a steak.
Okay.
Are you going to shove the whole thing in your mouth? Or are you going to, like, cut off a piece, chew on it, taste it, swallow it, begin that whole process, then chew off another piece?
Yeah.
The music is a steak. Don't shove the whole thing in your mouth.
But when I was...
It's bad manners.
Yeah. But when I was growing up, you see all these plays, you forget about all that and you shove the whole steak in your mouth all the time and half of it...
And you end up puking.
Not getting in the mouth, yeah.
And the other part you puke out.
You're exactly right. So it is such a... It's such great advice and it's so simple. I wish someone said to me from day one, take this one little thing and be the best on the planet with that one little thing. I heard Dave Weckl say that and I never fucking took it.
You know... Damn. When you went like one little thing, and then you said Dave Weckl, I'm sure he wouldn't appreciate that.
Sorry, Dave. He did say that. He said, what are the things that stuck
you
with
you? And again, the best on the planet, I hate that.
Well, the best, become the best on the street, or just the best just you can be.
It. Right.
Yeah.
Just like digest it, make it yours,
make
and
it
then
your
find
own.
Something else and make it yours. But ultimately, none of it's going to work unless you can play the song.
Yeah.
And of course, they're going that way now. There's a virulent strain of underground parasitic nomads that are changing the music. But until they do, we play songs.
Right.
So learn the song. Just learn the song and be able to simply play the song. Like, what if I just needed to play the song and somebody wanted to sing the melody? You know, it's like a little thing and... Just, you know, how about just being able to do that? I mean, I know guys that can play, you know, like triad pairs and harmonize melodic minors over everything. And if it just came to just playing the song simply, they couldn't hear their way out of a fucking paper bag.
Right.
You know, it's like, what? What? The guitar. The beauty of the guitar. It's a pocket piano. I can lay in my bed and orchestrate. You know, think about that, guys. Why aren't we doing that?
Because I'm learning licks, Bruce.
but you know, girls don't... I mean, okay, I can understand that like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Because girls actually liked that. But now girls don't even like that.
No. Well, no one cares.
Right, okay. So it's like... Then why is any... What's the point? It's not fun. It doesn't sound good. It's not fun. It doesn't sound good, and nobody likes it.
Well,
why would anybody do it? Okay, now we're down to just pissing off your parents.
Well, I dare say, all that shit becomes addicting. It almost becomes like a drug, or it's more that it becomes a safe zone. That's what your place you go all the time. And I'm guilty of this. The stupid thing is, my missus will say, oh, you pick up the guitar and all I hear is you play licks and blah, blah. You're just noodling. I don't even know what you're playing. It's not music. And then I'll pull up the acoustic and I'll play chords. I'll play a C chord or a G chord or something simple. She's like, oh, God, that sounds so good. So who's the dickhead? Right? So, play songs. You're right. Play fucking songs.
Play songs.
Learn a song.
Write a song.
Write a song.
Write a song with a C and a G chord. She obviously likes those.
Great chords. Great chords. Yeah. Yeah. So, there you go. Oh, that was all from Wesley.
No, that was somebody else.
No, Jaden.
Yeah.
Good on you, Jaden Wiggins. He's got a couple of other his take on it, right? Well, he was about to go with that whole question of
Oh, he already had the answer. Why didn't we read that?
Well, because I let you go. Transcribing modern players versus older players. He says there are a lot of different views on this idea. Some people really believe that you have to transcribe from the swing and bebop eras before moving on to the Kurt Rosenwinkels, the Ben Moders, is it?
Ben.
It's tradition that I fuck up his last name. And Mike Marinos,
yeah,
of the world. But if someone really want to be inspired by those players and spend a lot of time transcribing them, but not the older guys, do you think there would be a hole in understanding jazz? That's an interesting point.
Again, I'm just going to go back to my first thing and then back to my virulent strain of the new danger of music, which is, the song. I don't care if it's a new guy or an old guy or whatever. If you can play the song,
it doesn't matter.
Then what, you want to play Romanian, Greek, German, Polish, Hebrew on it? Do what you want. Just be able to fulfill your basic responsibilities as a musician. Keep your place, have a good feel, get a good sound, know the form, be able to put everything into a place that it belongs in context. You know, those basic things. You know, and if the modern music is pushing us towards a place where those values don't matter anymore that I just mentioned, then I think you now know why jazz is not popular. Because it's lost music.
Yeah.
And it's become some chess game with guitars or instruments. And, you know, frankly, if I wanted to play chess, I'd play chess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to get a lot of trouble from chess players on that.
I never learned how to play chess. I should have done that. I got to say,
I don't know. I think in terms of, you know, violence quotients, guitar players are more dangerous than chess players.
I think they are, by far. Simon Jeans. I just got to say a massive thank. $100.
Simon Jean?
Jeans.
I think I know this person.
Simon Jeans? Did you give him the $100?
No.
What a great bloke. No, you don't know him. He's an Aussie.
Okay.
He's from Western Australia, all the way on
the
other.
Is it 100 Aussie dollars or 100 American?
Oh, that was a fucking American blow right there, wasn't it? It doesn't matter. Well, I come up with $100.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Simon.
Simon, you're a fucking legend.
Yeah, man. Can we get... Can you get me a gig? I want to go over to Australia. I think I belong there.
Oh, man,
I think I belong there.
How many times have you been there?
A few times. Numerous. I don't know. 3, 8.
But
five.
Simon, massive thanks, man. I mean, that's amazing. That's so cool.
Thank you. And really I'm so cool. Glad you can understand us.
Well, you can understand me. I don't know if you can understand you.
That's
guys.
What I mean.
So I'm just looking at other tones. Jesse. After spending a lifetime with solid body guitars, I've switched over to an ES-335 semi-hollow body type guitar. The tones are great, but there's another cool feature. I love the sound and feeling of the top vibrating against my hard body.
What?
No, joking. Bruce, do you... I should have kept going with that. Bruce, do you find this to be an enjoyable factor of playing hollow body? I'm sure the L5 would be perfect candidate for some wild howling. Or am I just too much of a rocker to be a real jazzer? I guess he's... Do you dig that about the L... Well, the bigger body guitars.
Okay. Why I play these guitars.
Yeah, is it jazz? Because you're just a jazz guy and you can't play
the
bells?
Yeah, and I like to piss rock guys off. Yeah, that, there's that. And it just ensures that I'll never really ever make it in music. Besides that, you know, fulfills my self-sabotage fantasies.
Hey, I know players that have made it with playing the bigger guitars.
Oh, well. Who were they?
Brian Setzer?
Yeah.
Right. He's got that rockabilly thing going on.
No, but he plays a Gretsch, you know, country, the full country gentleman, the one that's, you know, real.
Yeah. It's real thick.
It's not the White Falcon. It's still, you know, I mean, again, a 335 has some acoustic, more acoustic qualities than a Les Paul.
Yeah.
But not a whole lot more.
Right.
Just got to be honest with you.
Really?
The 335 has a has a wood plank that goes down the center. So you're basically, you've just got acoustic wings
right.
on a 2x4.
What about the L5?
The L5 is an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, so that you feel
but,
that.
But my L5, in all fairness, is very thick wood and not as acoustic as one that would made to be acoustic, although it's, it is acoustic. I mean, there's no wood block filling up.
Right, the middle.
It's not a solid body with wings.
Yeah.
It's an actual acoustic guitar.
That's what my Gretsch is. It's got the solid block down the middle.
Right, right.
Just and, to and control.
That's
so
typical of a 335. Although there was a model called the 330 that was the same shape as the 335, except for it didn't have that.
Oh wow!
And I suggest anybody who really wants to know the effect of that block down the middle. Just check a 335 against a 330. It's easy to do.
Yeah.
Because those instruments are fairly findable. I think they're making them still.
Yeah.
And, of course, not many people want the 330 because it has a lot of the problems of the L5 and other acoustics. It feeds back like a dog. So why have a little teeny acoustic guitar if it's going to have the same problem as a big acoustic guitar? You might as well have the big one, and get the full... Why I like these bigger guitars, these acoustic guitars that are made into electric, is a huge part of what I hear in the guitar is dynamic response and what I call snap, mm-hmm. the way the notes jump out back at me.
Yep.
And I know damn well that if I played a Strat or a Les Paul, I could play twice as much as I do now technically, speed-wise. And I could play louder. And I would probably even have them even a little more even, maybe not. But I wouldn't be, like, a big part of the way I like to swing is the minute variation in articulation that on a solid body guitar you wouldn't hear the difference.
Right.
These little things that I'm doing that really do are pronounced on my L5, more particularly my Sontag, my acoustic.
Yeah, yeah.
Or my resonator. Those things would just be a fart in a blizzard. You wouldn't even hear them. But on even a 335.
Right.
You wouldn't hear them.
Wouldn't hear them. But what you gain...
Yeah, I would gain other things.
Yeah.
Sure. But what I really seem to find myself loving the most about music is those things.
Those things. That makes sense. So that's a big part of why you haven't gone the solid...
That is totally because I like to play loud.
Hmm.
I'm not a guy who hates loud, although I do like to play soft too.
Seriously, you on a Tele would just shred.
I like Teles. I like Strats. Yeah. I like Les Paul. I love Les Paul. I was just sitting playing yours here.
Yeah.
I was saying to myself, man, this I could live with this guitar all day long, you know? Except for, like, while I'm playing it without the amp, I'm hearing all this dynamic articulation. And as soon as I plug in, a lot of that just sort of melts together and becomes a different thing. And what do I get? More controllability electrically, ability to play louder, more clarity, because those acoustic guitars can get boomy and all sorts of, although I found those new strings, which I really think have cleared up a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, again, and I'm talking right now, if you were to interview me in a week, maybe I'll have changed my mind. By then I might be playing a Tele.
You'll be at the resonator. Fucking guitars, I hate them. I want to play the flute.
I do know that you put me anywhere on earth with anything, and I'll make music as best I can. That's what I'm going to do. So,
Yeah.
That's the story, and I'm going to stick to it right now. And Scott would say, that's bullshit. You got to have your tone and your instrument. Yeah. And your amp, and you got to have it all dialed in, and it's always got to be the same in order to work. And Scott is a lot more successful than me, and he sure is a brilliant player. So I got to say, he's right and I'm wrong.
Well, it's all relative, isn't it?
Well, this is one I guess I have to say I don't give a shit, but I really do.
Like you haven't heard enough of my freaking voice. Ah, well, there you go, guys. That's that was probably the most interesting, annoying guitaring podcast we've done. I didn't help at all. But anyway, thank you so much. If you made it this far, send me an email and I will send you something. Because that's amazing right there. So there you go. Thank you so much for tuning in. I promise next week we'll be back on track and we'll lift the standard way higher. We can't get any lower than this, gentlemen and ladies. And thank you so much for all that you do. Yeah, there you go. I don't even know what me and Bruce are talking about half the time. So all good. All right, have a great week. Be safe out there. Look after each other. Let's support all the guitar wankers. Share the world. Chill the world. Yeah, share the world. Fucking go to the website, guitarwank.com. Leave us comments. We need more reviews on iTunes. It really helps us a lot, apparently. Tell your friends. Share it with your mum. Share it with your sister. And we'll catch you all next week. If you're driving in the car right now and you're like, oh man, I've still got 2 more hours to go on my trip. Oof. My friend in Sweden, he listens to these. I don't know why. Just rewind. Listen to my intro again. I think the second time you listen to my intro, it's just so much better. All right. Send your hate mail to guitarwank@gmail.com. All right. Next week, it'll be better. I promise. Okay.